Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater Show. I am there it is. That was a weak one. That was awful. Do it again.
Hey,
We're both sick, to be fair. Well, he is sick. I'm having a horrific allergic reaction.
To me.
To you. It's finally, after so many months, hitting me.
I thought we were building up a tolerance, and then here we are.
Well, welcome, friends. If you don't know, we've had a little sad announcement. We are not doing our show. We had to cancel it because of the really devastating fires that are happening in LA. So we thought, just for everybody's safety and doing it at a different time, under a better circumstance, we're going to do the show a little bit later.
Yep.
Thanks, Tesco.
If you don't know, I'm in LA. Anybody's worried, I have gotten a lot of DMs from people wondering where I am personally safe. My family was very lucky in this regard in that the fires were all surrounding us, but nowhere near us. But obviously, it's still a devastating time. I have several friends that have lost their homes. And it's a rough, but you know, as we do on the show, we're going to try to give a little escape, especially for anybody that is listening to us from LA, and kind of do the show and give you something to listen to distract you a little bit while this goes on.
Yeah, I actually just got a really nice email of somebody saying that it's been a hard time with stuff going on, and that this is a little oasis.
So it's a good thing we took 2 weeks off.
I know,
but we're back for season 2. I don't know. This is
I guess it is.
Technically, I guess, right?
We were snowed in for a couple days because it was like 2 feet of snow. So I've had my child almost the whole time without any break.
Yeah.
Anywho. Well,
this is Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater.
Yeah, it is.
We do a radio show.
No.
On podcast. Brought to you by...
No!
Vaporub.
By what?
Vaporub. In Latino culture, it's often the running joke is that Vaporub fixes everything.
Like Vicks?
But it's often referred to as Vaporub.
Okay.
And so I love, my wife makes fun of me because every time I get sick, I'm like, where's the Vaporub? and they have the little tubes now that you can.
Yes, I love it. Oh, I love it. If I'm sick, my grandma always gave me it to me. Yeah. And I'm like, this is the good stuff. So now.
Vicks Vaporub, if you would like to sponsor us, I am wearing you right now.
Yeah, you're being sponsored.
What's that scent you have on, Chesco? Vaporub.
Oh. It's clearing my nasal passages.
Eucalyptus?
I don't think it is eucalyptus.
I don't know. What is it? It's
I don't know.
No, it is wonderful Vaporub.
I love Vicks. I have always loved it.
It is the best.
Don't come for me, okay?
Yeah.
Anywho, since Chesco has decided he knows everything, I think we should learn a little bit more from men today. So
finally!
So very educational videos for men on the internet. So buckle up, friends.
Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
Like, no, you don't. Shit.
Always unhinged. Once we get hinged...
Yeah.
People will, they'll be like, what is this hinging?
We've been hinged.
Ah.
Oh my God. Okay. So the first video, this is from the wife's perspective. She had an interesting encounter with her husband.
Hey, what's up? It's Ash. Somebody please help me settle this debate. Last night, my husband and I have to go pick up our daughter at the airport. It's a little over an hour away. We jump in my Jeep, he's driving, and he says, "Oh, you're gonna need gas." Literally drives right past the gas station near our house, gets on the highway. So I'm thinking, all right, no big deal. We have plenty of time. We're gonna pass many on the ride. So I'm sitting in the passenger seat. I'm texting her so we can time it. You know, she gets off her flight, she grabs her bag, she's out on the sidewalk, and we pick her up. We stop for a bite to eat on the ride home, and then we're like trekking down the highway, and I glance over at the dash and I see that the gas light's on. So I go, "Well, how long has the gas light been on for?" And he's like, "I don't know. This isn't my Jeep. I'm not paying attention to that." So I hit the little button and it just says low fuel. So I know that we have under 50 miles of gas and we have more than 50 miles to get home. So I'm like, "Well, how long's the gas light been on? Like, you're driving, you're staring at the dashboard." And he's literally like, "I don't know. This isn't my Jeep. It wasn't my responsibility for gas. I'm not paying attention." So I'm like, "Please get off at the next exit so we can get gas." We get gas, and then I was like, "What were you gonna do?" And he's like, "I was just gonna keep driving, and when we ran out of gas, you would have had to call AAA." So am I wrong? Was I responsible in the passenger seat for watching for the gas light and instructing him to pull over for gas? Or was it my responsibility before we left for the airport to go get gas in my Jeep? Am I wrong?
So, Chesco, what do you think?
Well,
Well?
I have you. Well, first off, have you ever ran out of gas when you're driving?
No, I don't. I've taken it to the limit.
Yeah, I had
A
a.
couple times.
I had a, this is me because I'm. If I don't share this story, I'm going to be thinking about this the entire time and not talking about the video. Most horrifying. So I used to live in a city called Pacifica, which is in the Bay Area. And as you drive down the freeway, the highway to get in there, you go over this huge, like it's this beautiful, like cliff looking over the ocean, right? And it's normally beautiful, except my car at the time ran out of gas as I was like going over the top part of it. And I'm like, it's in my mind, I'm like, it's fine, I'll coast because it's a long downhill thing. I didn't realize this. I was, by the way, 19 at the time. So this is, I was driving to work. I didn't realize that when your gas goes out, your power steering also goes out. At least, I don't know if that's still the case, but that was
Oh
what happened.
no.
And so but also this, the what, as an adult, what should you do in that situation? Pull over.
Sure.
To the shoulder, right? As a 19-year-old, I don't want to use pejoratives for myself, child, right? I was like, I should at least
A
roll this to
coast.
the gas station. So I'm going down the, and I'm like
Oh,
grab my nose as
God.
hard as I can because I'm like afraid I'm gonna go over the cliff. I did get to the gas station though, so it ended up being
You
worth it.
almost
But I
died.
almost died. That could have been my end game, but. So,
Okay.
warning, by the way, if you ever run out of gas in an older car, at least, I don't know if that's still the case for newer cars, your power steering goes out. And you don't realize how important your power steering is until you're on a cliff.
Well, this took a turn. I guess didn't.
Anyway, yeah.
No turning at all.
I see what you did
Yes,
there.
it's okay. You got there eventually.
Yeah. How do you feel about this video, Reagan?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts. I think this is insane. So, what I will say is, sure, it would have been better if it wasn't relatively on empty before they left to pick her up. I get that. Like usually, you know, if you're picking someone from the airport, you do want to have enough gas in the tank. But we all live in a world where things happen. That it happens all the time. There's been plenty of times my wife and I switch cars all the time, where I'll get in and it's on near or not or like low and or vice versa, and we don't act like buttholes. But this
Right.
I
Especially if you have kids or if you have ADHD, like you can, there have
or
been
both.
many times or both, right?
Yes.
It is very easy to to forget those sort of things. I knew somebody that was very adamant. They're like, no, it has to always be above 60%. That was there. They had a line in their mind if it's below that. And I was like, I don't think it's rarely above 60%.
Do you fill up your car? And with gas prices, my God.
Yeah.
I'll at least say, like, I get that. But this whole thing of, I would say they're misogynistic. I don't know. But like, I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to show you. Instead of me just, like, getting gas. I mean, she could have paid for it. I don't know what their finances are. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think they're married, so like I assume it wouldn't be a big deal if he or she paid for it.
This is also the issue, and I know this is an area of contention for a lot of people that don't agree with me on this, but like the whole, this is like being married and assuming that you're planning on staying married and just having everything so separate as this is mine and that's yours. There should at least, even, I understand why people might want to have, for various reasons, have their own stuff, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be at least have some blurriness to it. Even with friendships, you know, like when I buy someone lunch, I'm not noting it so that the next time we go out, you have to buy me lunch, right?
They're like more strict with their partner than they would be their friend, which is crazy. And like money aside, let's like put that aside. He's trying to prove a point. He is purposefully driving this car. He saw it was, he saw it was on E, and he's like, all right, I'm going to punish her. So who gets punished? It's not just her. It's not just him. It's the child as well. They're picking up their daughter. So the idea is, well, once we are stuck on the side of the road after she's been traveling for God knows how long, and then who's going to be embarrassed? Mom. Who's going to feel like they messed up? Who is the daughter going to be mad at? Who's going to be blamed? Like, rather than just get gas at the many gas stations they pass, he would rather humiliate her and put them all in a dangerous situation just to prove a point.
They stop to eat. It's not like they're, it's not even like it was one of those things where like they just, you know, we're going straight there, straight back. But they literally stop somewhere. And if you stop, there's almost certainly was a gas station right there.
She said they passed gas stations. And the whole idea of him, like, I don't see it, bullshit. If you've been driving that long, maybe you don't see it at first, but he definitely saw it. He definitely saw it. And the idea was, well, it's not my car, not my problem. That's a man who's trying to prove a point in the pettiest of ways. Yeah. And, like, that's also a dangerous situation. Like, being stuck on the side of the road. And, again, it's there, wherever they are is cold. Like, all three of you, after she just got in from a flight. For what? Like, what is the point? Literally to humiliate her?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's a power, power move of being able to, like, see what you did. See how much you need me. Like, this is, you can't take care of yourself.
But it's like, I don't know, maybe she assumed she had a loving partner, a responsible partner, who would tell her as he was driving if it was getting that low. I mean, because you can't always tell, like, just looking at it, you know, like... The idea of, like, you had to be put in a position to screw her over. You know what I mean? Like, you had to have a little bit of power to screw her over, and you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Knowing that if she was driving, she would have pulled over.
I don't even understand. Like, I think part of me is just like, and I get the whole, what we talked about, the power move and everything, but like, why? Like, what do you gain from the, I don't even understand. Like, there's certain like types of weird power moves that I can see the twisted logic in it.
Did you hear? So I talked about this on my other podcast, the F the Nice Guy podcast. The jar lids. Did you hear about this?
No.
This woman was like, had this long-term boyfriend who started living at her house, and all of a sudden, like, all of her jar lids were too tight, and she couldn't, like, open her jars. And, like, if he wasn't staying with her, it would not happen. Right. And if he was staying with her, it would happen again. And it was jars that he wasn't even using. Like, there were foods that he did not touch. Like, these were specific foods that she ate, and the jars would be too tight. And she ended up, he would go out of town, and she couldn't open anything. And she felt crazy. And then she got her neighbor to come over, and he took some of the jars literally like to his garage to use like tools. And some of them broke. They were tightened so tight. And he denies, the whole time is denying that he's doing it. And the neighbor comes back and he's like, I just need you to know, like, somebody put work into tightening these jars. Like, these were not normal tightened. Like, this was, they were damn near like factory setting tightened.
Wow.
And so he just like, just to fuck with her.
So that she,
so that she would need him to open the jar.
Right. I will say that, and this is not defending him. I will, my wife's biggest complaint with me is that I tighten jars very tight. Yes. But I'm also a massive individual.
Yeah, but you're not doing it to jars you don't use.
No, I know. No, it's my jars that I'm using. Yeah. And there's not a power play.
And you wouldn't deny that it happened either.
No, I apologize for it happening. She's always like, why is this? What are you tightening it this way? Like,
stop it.
Sorry.
I mean, he like literally just all of the jars, and like to the point that she like couldn't open any jars while he was gone. Just to like prove he was needed. Like,
yeah, make her reliant on him.
It's this petty like way of getting revenge on people. And like, it's such a like a cowardly way of doing it too. Like, he's not just like, you know, getting into an argument with her. He's like, well, I guess I'll just pretend I don't see the, you know, gas light on, and then we'll have to pull over on the highway.
It's these weird petty things where people get into relationships with people they clearly don't like.
Yeah.
Or it's just also, I feel like a lot of it stems from insecurity from these guys, where they're like, they need to find ways to prove that they're needed and necessary. Right. And that's why they always have
smarter.
This ubiquitous feeling of I'm your protector.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But it's like, but at a certain point you realize, all right, what else are you providing to this relationship, right? And so they're like, oh, well, you wouldn't be able to open these jars without me here. And it seems like I don't think it's a conscious thing, but it is just like this subconscious weird way of like making them reliant on you.
Oh, I think it's absolutely conscious. When you're tightening all the jars in the fridge.
In this particular thing,
even what he's doing, he consciously knew that he could see the light. He knew what was going to happen. He knew how she was going to feel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, it's the whole idea of, my therapist says, the reasonable expectation. If they do this, what do they reasonably expect?
Right.
One can reasonably expect that if they don't say the gas light is on and keep driving, they're going to have to pull over. And I think it's completely conscious. Now, I don't know that they would get to the level of I'm insecure.
They don't think that's why they're doing it. Yeah.
But I definitely think like they're trying to prove their value. It's like, I will show you that I am your savior by being also the danger. Like, that's insane. Mm-hmm.
What would you do without me to protect you from me?
From me.
How would you protect yourself from me if I was not here to protect you from me?
Who would stop me if I wasn't here? Who would stop
me from being me if I wasn't here to stop me?
Who knows when I'll show up again?
Like, I'm here all the time. What are you going to do if I'm not here?
I have to protect this household from me and also be here. It's actually a really hard job.
Do you understand how hard it is to live with me?
Yes, you're nodding. Yes,
I have to be with me 24 hours a day.
God, make me a sandwich, please. Yeah. I'm starving.
If you don't make me a sandwich and ask me to open these jars to make me that sandwich,
they'll do anything not to improve. Instead, like, I don't know, make yourself important in other ways. You know, like the jar lids is just so disturbing, but like, letting your wife and your child be stranded on the side of the road on purpose to make your wife feel like shit. Like, all of that is just so she feels like shit.
Yeah.
Is so malicious.
And I almost feel like that if they did break down, then he could be like, oh man, can you imagine if I wasn't here with you right now? How would you feel?
Oh my God.
Wouldn't this be scary? Wouldn't you be scared without it? You're right though. It's this manufactured value of just needing to show that they are worth, that they're actually providing something to you because of the fact that it's so, because it's insecurity, because of insecurity. I think it all stems down to insecurity or fragility, I guess.
Very fragile. Mm-hmm. If she hadn't have clocked it at all, he would have easily just been like, oh my God, I didn't even see the light. And then she would have probably been apologizing to him.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And that's part of it too.
And how much of that is going on and we just didn't realize it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
And that's not to say, like, I think neither gender is innocent from playing mind games with each other.
Every gender plays mind games.
Everybody, but I think there is a certain flavor of malicious mind game that you see more commonly done by toxic men.
Danger. Like, well, it's like the whole bear argument.
Right.
When that was going on, so many of men's responses were then to make threats to women. Like, well, wait till I get a hold of you. I'm like, dude, you're proving why women choose the bear. Yeah.
It's like when guys talk about how, you know, men are victims of violence too. Yeah.
By
who? Is it?
Men!
Is it? Yeah, it's the majority.
It's a whole argument of like, what will women do if men aren't there to protect them? From? From who?
Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. If all men disappeared tomorrow, what would women do? Rejoice.
Dance, run with headphones in, wear whatever they wanted, have rights.
Paid child leave.
What?
Paid child care leave. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, just the idea of like, I am so desperate to be essential to you that I will actually put you in danger. I will put you in a situation that you need me.
What a world.
Oh God!
Why? Okay. Why are so this male loneliness epidemic? I don't understand it. I always am careful and like downplaying. Like I get that there's an actual issue with that. I don't deny that there are things going on. There's depression. There's sadness. I don't want to downplay mental health problems, but the issue is a lot of it is because it's self-imposed, right? It's the idea of like. I'm smacking myself in the head and being like, why does my head always hurt? Right? That pain is real, but you're the one doing it.
It's so interesting. I did a video with my sister, again, from other podcasts, where I was like, went on and on. I just talked about the male loneliness epidemic not existing because when it's used, it's usually men talking about not sleeping with women. When it's used, most of the time that men are using it, online in particular, that's what they're kind of talking about. They're talking about relationships because they could be friends with women. They could have companionship with men, women, any gender, and yet they choose not to. And if anything, you know, the friend zone is literally the most abhorrent place they could ever be. And they're disgusted when they're like, when they're forced to be friends with women. It's just the worst. So that's what I was talking about. And people got really upset.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, I should be clear. Men got upset.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, first of all, it's across genders, loneliness.
Right.
Like, loneliness, right. The epidemic of loneliness is truly across genders. The idea that it's being called an epidemic makes it seem as if it is a sudden burst of this, almost without cause or explanation, right? And it's that sudden, really. Yeah.
And I think the difference is, and this is once again not the problem of women. This is a problem of men, and this is a misogyny problem. This is a patriarchy problem. Women that are lonely still can find community with other women, versus men with that are friends with other men rarely find that same kind of community, that same kind of listening, that same kind of warmth that is there. And so it feels as if men must have it so much worse because it's that they're doing it to them. They're literally causing it to themselves.
Well, like I said, they don't seek out friendship with women though. They don't
seek out friendship for the sake of friendship. Right?
Yes.
For the
sake see value in it. So of course you don't have community. If you don't see, you know, or any gender, like if you don't see value other than men, in friendships, and you're not comfortable mm-hmm. with intimacy with men, like emotional mm-hmm. intimacy, like you can't, no, you can't build community. You can't build with community right. with people that you think are lesser than you, are mm-hmm. subhuman to. Of course you're not building community because mm-hmm. you're viewing members of your community as less than. That's right. never going to work. And it's also, you know, when women are lonely, you know, we don't see as many acts of violence from mm-hmm. women, like statistically mm-hmm. speaking. Mm-hmm. Men, when they are lonely, you know, we see that it's a lot of times being put on other people violently. You know, we see these acts that are happening and loneliness is being called the cause. But why is it that men mm-hmm. do it in that way? Like, why do men mm-hmm. feel they have the right to take out their loneliness as violence mm-hmm. against women a lot of the time?
That's the wildest thing to me about why there are so many guys that can't see that someone like myself, who's speaking out against mm-hmm. these horrific systems that harm everyone,
yes.
right? They get so, but it's, they still come at me violently, you know, mm-hmm. still or angrily or insultingly, when they don't realize that it's literally I'm fighting against the very thing that is making them so angry, mm-hmm. that is making them want to enact those systems of violence, right? And obviously you are too, and like the other, it's mostly women in this space. Obviously there are several men that are doing it. We don't have to get into the whole habit of it, but it's, I'm always, one of the videos I made before, this is like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. was that I don't think you should ever fully trust any man in this space, including myself, right?
Including me.
No, because I think there's once you get to the point where you get too much kudos for doing this work, then that's what it becomes about, yeah. right? It becomes too much where it's like, how do I know that you're actually believing what you're saying and not just mm-hmm. doing it once again for the reward of being the savior, for being that good person? And we've seen, obviously, with what's his face? We're not going to talk about him.
Baldoni.
But Justin Baldoni.
Yeah.
How even he fooled me. I own his book.
Yeah.
He definitely fooled me. And that there are these people that are very good at this, especially mm-hmm. if you're a narcissist. Anybody could be there. If you're still gaining value from the current system, you're still gaining benefit from the current system, then you should always be looked at. And if you can't handle the fact that people are going to be doubting your true intentions, mm-hmm. if that is enough to make you not want to do this work still,
right,
then that says a lot, right?
And right. so if you can't be questioned, yeah.
Right. If you can't, same thing with the anti-racist work, sure. right? If any sort of work that you are doing that where you are the one that is part of the community in power, the community that is loses, quote unquote, the most by the system changing, mm-hmm. people should always constantly, you know, have a little, but you should accept that you're not welcome always in spaces, even sure. if you're doing the work, right? There, if there's a woman's only space, if there is a space only for a trans only space, right? If there's a queer only space, if there's only certain things, you should not be offended or hurt. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Was it your show or was it this show about that guy that went to the gay bar, the straight guy that went to the gay bar? But it was, but that whole, situation, right? It's mm-hmm. the idea, if you're getting offended by not being given all the privileges and the tasty rewards for being that good friend, yes. the good ally, then there's a problem, right? Then it's very clear that there's something else going on.
I think it's an excellent point, because like there's a lot going on with the Baldoni case, but something I want to mention is that men, nice guys, particularly like spiritual nice guys, are very comfortable and known to push boundaries, mm-hmm. and they feel like they have the right to push boundaries, and they get very upset mm-hmm. when someone has a boundary with them, because they have this open energy that, you know, they're open, they're healed, whatever they're saying. But that, you know, if someone holds a boundary with them, it's a problem. And you look at, like, it's the same thing with that space, like, you know, if you're doing you know, anti-racism work, or if you're trying to be an ally and someone mm-hmm. of that community wants to hold a boundary with you and you would get pissed mm-hmm. at that boundary, that's not okay. That's mm-hmm. not right. They're allowed to have boundaries. However open you want to be, like, it has to be consenting on both sides. And you look at right. Baldoni, like, just for some examples that both of them have agreed happened, One, he goes up to her and says, "I'm talking to your dead dad." That is so inappropriate to say to someone, particularly if they don't share your belief systems. Like, that's not okay. Like, and she clearly was not okay with it. Like, and it's something he's known to do. And to have your co-star, but also your director do that to you when that's not what you believe, that's a lot. That's a lot to take on. And, you know, there was also, he was showing off the video of his wife giving birth. And yeah, and she walked up and she thought they were looking at pornography. And she was like, "Whoa." And he's like, "Oh no, it's just this my birth video," because he was showing it to somebody else. And, you know, she was like, "Did she consent to that?" And he said, "Well, she's not weird about it." As if having bound, you know, it's weird. It would be weird if she cared. It's like, hey, guess what? Not everybody wants to see that. Like, that is a very intimate graphic on all levels. Like, it's graphic. Like, you're seeing a lot of body parts. There's a lot of gore. Like, you don't have the right to just do that. And it's okay for people to have a problem. And just talking about the things that they've agreed happened, there was a constant pushing of boundaries with her. And, you know, I don't think, like, her personality aside, you know, I'm not a huge fan of her. I think it's annoying that I have to say that. But, you know, I don't think she's someone who is easily pushed by people. And I don't think she backed down when she had a problem with the way that he was behaving. And yeah, I think he expected that to go a different way.
And I think just to go even more general, so we don't steal your entire topic for your other show.
I'm talking about this on the other show. We're trying to be careful.
But with manipulators.
Yeah.
And you see this, I think you see this oftentimes with like the couples that like prank each other. But it's like you manipulate someone. Oh, she's cool with that. She loves when I do this. Right. Or like that marriage ceremony where he made the really horrific vows of those. Oh, that's my humor. She loves my humor, right? She's not, I think that's a common thing. Oh, she's not weird about it. She has a great sense of humor.
She's cool.
Gets it. She's one of the cool girls.
Yeah.
Right.
She's been picked.
But I think it's very, if you hear that from someone you love and you want them to like you, right? You know, it's not just that you want them to love you, you want them to like you as well.
Yeah.
Then I could easily be like, oh yeah, of course. Cause I know that you think anybody with a boundary like that would be weird. So of course I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm not one of the,
That's a great point. So that's a very common manipulative technique, particularly with narcissistic people, not just men, all genders, is what they'll do is rather than critique you, they'll critique other people or they'll constantly compliment something. So like if they want your hair a certain way, they'll compliment that. Or if they don't want your hair a certain way, they'll be like, oh, you know, say you have long hair. They'll be like, I really like short hair. Like that short hair looks great on her. And they'll keep bringing it up. And by constantly commenting on it, they deliver the message without having to. And then when you make the change, say you chop your hair off, they can say, well, I never told you to do that.
Right.
And that's the
thing. And they could even say like, I love short hair. You though, this works totally. This looks beautiful. I love this on you.
Yeah.
No, this is amazing for you.
Yeah.
But once again, you're hearing that and you're internalizing it.
They trick you into thinking it's you. Yeah. It's like your choice. You chose to do that. As someone who has dealt with many men who behave like that.
Right.
It's insidious. It's very insidious. It's hard to catch. And we have to dive deep into like when people do things like and really look at what is the intent here. What could possibly be the reason if we're accepting that they are not a fool? Like that's what like when I was talking about the reasonable expectation. If you're constantly telling your partner how much you love a certain look, you can reasonably expect they may think that's what you want.
Right.
It's just like food. If you're constantly saying how much you like this food, they may end up cooking you that food because they think that's what you want to be served to you.
Right.
And I think these men operate under that and then want to be like, well, I didn't know the gas tank was empty. I didn't see the light. It's like we have to be critical of these behaviors and look at like, okay, assuming you're not an idiot, which I know this man would be pissed if she's like, oh, he's just an idiot. He just can't see lights. You can't.
That's just the way he is.
You know how he is. He's just an idiot. They're very hypocritical in the sense of they'll want to be treated like a baby, but then if we were ever to call them a baby, they would be horrified by that. Like in front of the guys, if you're like, he doesn't notice when his gas lights off and he lets the car run all the way out, like he would be horrified. Right? And I think it's realizing like this is manipulation. There's more to this. And knowing the systems that we have going, the power systems, and just what goes on in our society, I think it's important to keep all of those in mind when we look at the way that people behave. Because otherwise, like without that context, we're gonna get manipulated by people, and really bad behaviors and malicious actions are gonna be cast aside as like a mistake.
So. Speaking of which, so there's a video that I've been sent by a bunch of people, and it's not just one. It's been like, it's one of those quotes that starts going around, and then you see like 50 videos of people. Doing it, and I can't remember the exact word. I can look up if you want to take a break. I can look up the exact video, but the gist of it is when a woman is with a weak man or like a boy, she'll act like a mom, but when a woman is with a real man, she'll act like a child.
Oh my god!
The worst fucking right?
What's happening?
And I've had people send it to me. The weirdest thing, and this has happened more than once, where people have sent it to me both as like, you need to critique this, and I've had other people send it to me like, yes, this is great.
I am a child.
Yep.
Why does there have to be an infantilized adult in the mix? Like, why does somebody have to be a child? Right. That is so bizarre to me.
So wild to me. Yeah. It's the glamorization of this idea of the man that takes care of everything and the dependence of that, because like, that's what there's a culture in, I don't want to say our society, in the world, even in a lot of societies, of the man needing to be everything to everyone, and the woman needing to be his property, right? His the thing that relies on him for everything, because it's and it the idea of a person, I don't want to say man or woman, but a person seeking out somebody as a partner is considered to be a lesser arrangement or a lesser relationship than the one where the man is doing everything.
But he never is. And also, hey, friends, someone can take care of you without you being a child. The only reason to call you a child is to infantilize you and take away your power and make you feel like you're not capable.
Right.
My wife takes care of me. I take care of her. I don't at any point think I am a child or she is a child. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. I just saw, it's going to be a tangent. Have you heard the Curious Case of Natalia Grace or whatever?
No.
It was the girl who had a unique form of dwarfism, and then her parents said that she was like the movie Orphan, where she was an adult. Anyways, so I haven't seen the new season, but there was an interview, and the I don't know what he is, the foster parent. I think she's an adult now. I don't know. But the family that's taking care of her is very religious, has been accused of being cult-like. And he was talking about that she needs to find a woman, that would be a twist, that she needs to find a man through the church, and that they'll have a chaperone. And then he said, and then eventually the man will take over the father's role for her. And I was like, oh my God. Let's not get into everything else that's wrong with that whole series. But just this idea, I was like, just this idea of like, your husband doesn't take the role of your father. Like, I get like, is protective of you, loves you. But like, it's not your new dad. Like, why are we, like, women are very capable. Women can live alone and have amazing careers, are intelligent. Like, if anything, you know, we see a lot of men infantilized. It's interesting. I feel like we see a lot of men infantilizing themselves and like women being infantilized by men.
Right. Right.
That's a generalization, but
it is such a weird thing. 'Cause I guarantee you that many of the relationships where the men are looking for a mommy, right, to the replacement mommy,
are the ones
who would consider themselves to be the man in a and that she is the quote unquote child.
That's horrible.
I hate how many videos I've responded to a few of them where they have explicitly used that language of like child for their partner, like of like treating the love of my wife is like the love for a daughter, like kind of like
ew.
What are you talking?
And you have sex with her?
Creepy. I know.
I remember just speaking on like infantilization, like self-imposed. I was in college and the guy I was dating was younger than me, which why did I do that? Anyways, yeah. I remember one time he was a mama's boy. I mean, really, like there was a time I might have said this before, but for Valentine's Day, mind you, I'm in my 20s. Okay. And he would have been 20. She was like, I'll make you dinner at my house. I'm like, no, I don't want to spend Valentine's Day with you. And she would get all my gifts from him. Like, it was a whole thing. But I remember one time he was really mad. And I was like, what's wrong with you? He's like, oh, my mom won't call my dermatologist. I'm just annoyed. And I'm like, call yourself. Yeah. What are you? I mean, he was genuinely and felt justifiably mad.
Complaining to you about
it. Yes. Like, ugh, my mom sucks. I'm like, you're a man. Call yourself. No.
He was not a man, right?
No. Well, he was. No, he was.
You're right. Because I get annoyed when people be like, no, he's just that they're not. It's always the excuse for
it's the accountability remover.
Men doing horrible shit or stupid
he's
things.
He's just a boy. And I'm like, I mean, I say man baby, but I mean, they act like babies. Yeah. But it's a way of taking accountability from men when we're like boys will be boys, for example. It's almost never used for boys. Almost
also,
never.
It's also never, women aren't given that same benefit of the doubt. Either.
Girls will
like,
be girls.
Oh, she's just a girl for a 25-year-old woman, right? Oh, she's just a little girl. Like, it's like stuff like that is never given like reverse. I can't think of a specific situation where that would be done because it's just not done, right?
It's
we excuse all the horrible shit that men do for that reason, though.
As much as you know, people want to say like women say all men, you know, which is almost not like it's fine. Leave that one alone. As much as they blame women for that, men do it all the time about other men. And like, oh, well, you know how men are. And like, I recently, I had one of my jobs, I had, there's this guy who is known for being harassy. Like he is very inappropriate. Like the first time I met him, cause we like have this acting job, he's an actor. And then we all get dinner. And then sometimes people drink, which I don't drink anymore cause I don't trust any of these people. But he ended up like asking me very intimate questions about being a lesbian the first time I met him. Yuck. So I have reported him and like, you know, it's rough because it's not on the clock. It's just like hanging out and we're all choosing to do that. And the guy that I reported him to, you know, is like saying he's going to take action. But at one point he goes, oh, you know, men can be terrible. And I'm like, because they're allowed to be.
Right.
What do you
right.
mean? You're HR. What do you mean?
That's what happens when you don't have give accountability for anything.
Yeah. It was crazy to me that he said that. Like, well, I'm like, they wouldn't be terrible if you fired them if they did it.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
One of the moments that made me feel ancient. This was a couple years ago. But there was a student that was complaining about something their boss did. And they're like, you know, he's from a different time. That was like, you know how old he was?
How?
45.
Oh, no, girl. No, friend.
And that's the my point of bringing that up is I don't want to get into that. Was a whole nother thing. It ended up being fine. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But the idea, though, I think it gets at a bigger thing, is the it's also it's either boys will be boys, mm-hmm. or once they get old enough, oh well, they're you know
can't change now.
You know how guys are. You know how men are when they get to be a certain
You're
age.
You're like, wait, there was no gap. He went
there was
from
no
a boy
gap.
To
there
a
was
man.
One
oh,
year of accountability at 38 years old.
That worst is year of my life.
Worst year. I was actually accountable for everything. I was not yet a boy, not quite a man.
At 40.
The Britney Spears song. That is the funniest thing. I remember being in my 20s, though, and thinking mm-hmm. the people in their 40s were so ancient. You know what I mean?
My like, God.
But when I thought of old people back then, yeah. I did think of people in their 40s and 50s. Like that was still, those were old people. And now I'm 42 and I'm like, I'm not an old person.
Wait a second.
Although there are days where I feel quite like an old person, but but it is interesting how that how your perspective shifts on it. But it's given me enough perspective, though, to say that it's bullshit that we excuse guys for things for both ways. When I was in my 20s, I was still a man and old enough to understand that the shit, and there's certain things, you know, that we can excuse certain things. There's naivete, there's
sure
mistakes we make. I'm sure when I was in my early 20s, especially in dating, there's advice that I thought was good advice that I followed and it was dumb, and you know lucky for me, I never did anything problematic, right? But it's I was still susceptible to doing dumb things at that age. And then when you, but like I said, there's at a certain point, there's never a certain point where you finally have accountability. It's always a reason to excuse.
And the old man things kills me because like mm-hmm. I've had, I think they're one of the worst offenders. I've had mm-hmm. so many old men be inappropriate with me. That's been like cast aside. If you talk to people like my sister's an OT, anybody who works mm-hmm. in the medical field, they've been touched or had things mm-hmm. said to them. And like, I just did a video where this girl was like, walking her dog and mm-hmm. her neighbor who was like 70, she was in her 20s, like talked to her for a minute or two, then started mm-hmm. showing up at her house, left her this love note that even though she talked about her boyfriend, and again, there's a 50 year age gap, like, you right. know, it's so horrifying. And yep. he's like, I'm quite taken with you. If you feel the same, call me. And kept showing up at her house. Mm-hmm. And I posted about it being like, the audacity, like that he thinks this 20-year-old, mm-hmm. like woman, I almost said girl, this 20-year-old yep. woman would be interested in him. And then like the police got involved because he, again, started showing up at her house. And we all know how dangerous it is if somebody knows mm-hmm. where you live. And right. he was like, I didn't know. I just was looking for a friend. I'm a deacon at the church. And all these mm-hmm. people are defending him. Like people are saying he has Alzheimer's. He does not. People mm-hmm. are saying he's just a lonely old man. Like he was confused. Someone has to take care of him. I'm mm-hmm. like, not her.
Right.
Not her.
Why not this 20-year-old? Yeah.
It's like women are constantly being made to like
yeah.
suffer. For mm-hmm. these things. It just makes no sense to me. Like, why?
And then she's probably feeling guilty about it too, yeah. like because the people are shaming her. And she's mm-hmm. like, well, maybe I shouldn't have taken it this far. Maybe I should. Maybe was I leading him on? Right. The whole.
Yeah, right.
What did I do something? Maybe I should have.
She it's said also... he was flirting with her and he's literally an old man. And it's just like, why would yeah. you assume that you're showing up at her house, you're leaving her letters, you're claiming, oh, I'm just an old church deacon. I mm-hmm. wish you had a community like the church.
Right.
Like he has a community and everyone's giving all these excuses. It's like, you know, if he was 20, people would give the excuse that he's young. It's like, mm-hmm. to your point, is there any time where just like, yeah. actually that's fucked up?
Mm-hmm. I've seen men in the 30s where they still like, he's a young guy.
Right.
Right.
What?
It's like I said, it quite literally is. It's you get to be a young guy mm-hmm. who is just dumb and, you know, doesn't know
just
what he's doing. I'm a victim to my hormones.
Yeah.
Right. To then be
40.
Old and set in your ways. And
yeah,
well, what are you going to do? You know, he's from a different time.
Back in my day. Oh, my God. I cannot. In the new year, 2025, I'm urging us to just hold men accountable and not yes. call them boys.
Yes, indeed. Except for me, I'm set in my ways.
You're old now.
I'm old now. I'm an old man.
You can do whatever you want.
This is my last year. My birthday this year will be my last year of being in my early 40s. Because next year, mid-40s begins.
Oh, my God.
42 was the hardest one for me because it was the 21st birthday of my 21st birthday.
Wait, what?
My 42nd birthday was last year.
Uh-huh.
And that was the 21st birthday of my 21st birthday. 38 was rough, too. I have weird milestones. 38 was hard because my college freshmen were born when I was a college freshman. No, wait, that was 36. Yeah, it was 36. That was the one.
Oh, like what year were you born? You're like, oh.
Where I was like, they were.
It was a different time, Chesco.
It was a different era. I'm ancient at this point. I can do whatever I want now.
It's so true. You can say crazy shit as an old man. People are like, oh, Jordy.
Oh man. He's so, I even got, it's funny. I used to have these coworkers that they're, God rest their soul now. They were 90. They were, when I was higher, they were in their 90s.
Oh my God.
But they were the most inappropriate.
Yes. I'm telling you.
The most, I love them, by the way. And it's to be fair, this is, they were amazing, but they would like, literally, they would do the pinching. They would like say like sexual things. It was
to students.
No. To us, the other people.
A hair better, but not much.
It was so. But my point is like there is this. I think there's a certain age you get to where you're just like whatever. I'm dying soon.
I'm hitting on everybody.
Yeah.
Well, anywho. I think it's when you're delusional enough to think like.
Yeah.
20-year-olds want you and you can put hands on people. That's when you're getting into predator. Let's not be a predator in your later years. Let's not age into that.
Yeah. Which I think is good life advice for anybody. Yeah.
Don't be a predator ever.
Don't be a predator for any, at any age.
At any age. Don't do it.
It's good.
Please.
Yeah. Not just when you're older, when you're younger too, when you're a young man and not a baby boy.
I think you know, baby boy.
When you were a little baby in your 20s.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Thank you for joining us for our first show back from our break.
Unofficially season 2.
Season 2.
I don't know why I keep saying that. We never talked about that.
I know. Well, now it's a thing, I guess.
Now it's season 2.
Did we only do one video this whole and just talk?
No, we did. Well, technically, I guess the second one. We talked about multiple videos.
Oh my God. We went off the rails.
Only one official video that we showed the actual audio. We have done this. There's at least been a dozen times where we've been like, we're going to talk about 6 videos today. And we got through half of one.
I know. We had one video and then you paraphrased a video. And then I talked about a video I saw once.
Right.
What a professional show.
Yep.
In like 10 episodes, we're just going to talk about our dreams.
Yep.
I had this crazy dream.
Sadly, and this is way more like put together than our pre-show.
Yeah. To be fair, Chesco is sick and I am suffering from an allergic reaction and I'm on Benadryl. So we're not thriving, but we're here.
We're here.
One of us is queer and get used to it. There you go.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think I can say that. Okay.
Good. We're good. Leave
we're
it in.
Good. Leave it in. Leave it in.
Leave it in.
All right, friends. Make sure to check out our pre-show if you want to see the more unhinged version of this, which is remarkable. And other than that, friends, we will see you next week.
I love you.
I knew you were going to say that. I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.